Please turn to Psalm 119, and we will be looking at verse 63. Psalm 119, verse 63. In verse 63, we read this: I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Amen. So as we look at Psalm 119 this morning, we continue picking out golden nuggets and examining those golden nuggets as we confess our sins. And in this verse, we see there is an intimate connection between our love for God and His Word in particular, and our love for the people of God. And so what we see is, as the Christian lives in fellowship with God, loves His Word, he must also love the people of God. He is a companion of all those that fear God and keep His commandments. And if you look also at one more psalm that brings these two things together really well, it's Psalm 16. So turn over to there, Psalm 16, verses 2 through 3. And it says, O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. See how it brings these things together? No goodness apart from God. We love God. We enjoy fellowship with Him. And we love His saints. There's nobody like the saints in the land. They are the excellent ones in whom we delight. And so what this verse in Psalm 119 presents, and what Psalm 16 presents, is something that is very different from what we sometimes hear in certain forms of American Christianity. Sometimes we have forms of American Christianity that discourage association with the people of God, or simply make it an optional thing. You don't have to be part of the body of Christ, they might say to you. You can have Jesus and not His people. But that's not what the Scriptures present, does it? Sometimes we hear people give objections. They say, well, I don't go to church because there's so much hypocrisy in the church. And they're absolutely right. If there are sinners in the church, there's going to be some degree of hypocrisy, isn't there? Or another objection, I don't like Christians. I love Jesus, but I just don't like Christians. That's a manifestation of spiritual pride, isn't it? To think that you're better than all the rest of those followers of Jesus? It reminds me of the request of James and John. They come to Jesus and they say, Lord, let us sit at your right hand. And of course, that assumes that all the other rascals who call themselves disciples are going to be down below somewhere else. But James and John got the special place. But it's not to be so with us. We are all imperfect, flawed disciples, no matter who we are. And we're all in need of the grace of God. Jesus came to save sinners, not the righteous. And so you can expect that if you're in companionship with the people of God, that you're going to be companions with sinners, not with the righteous. So let's look at the phrases that it gives us here. It says, verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. We live in fellowship or companionship with the people of God. We have been united together, Romans 6 tells us, in baptism, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We've been planted together. It's like we're all in this garden. All of us have been planted next to each other. And you don't, as a plant, uproot yourself and leave the garden. You're in the garden with everybody else. And our companionship is not just on Sunday for a couple of hours, though that's maybe the best time that we often get together, but it is to encompass our relationships throughout the week. It's to be a life that is lived together. The Westminster Confession of Faith gives us a beautiful description of the communion that we enjoy as saints, that we together are bound together in fellowship, and we get to enjoy that. So chapter 26 of the Confession, it says, saints by profession are bound, that is, it is their duty, to maintain a holy fellowship and communion in the worship of God, and in performing such other spiritual services as tend to their mutual edification, and also in relieving each other in outward things, according to their several abilities and necessities, which communion, as God offereth opportunity, is to be extended unto all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. So it says we have a duty. We are bound to come together to worship. We are also bound to edify one another. And we are bound to care for one another in our physical needs as well. We are to do good unto the body of Christ. And what a beautiful thing it is that what God has wrought in the church of Jesus. Think about how diverse our church is, but also many other churches that you can think of. People from so many different backgrounds, different professions, different ages, different interests, all brought together in companionship, friendship for eternity. And this is something that we enjoy, and many of us would probably never be friends. We would never know each other were it not for the uniting of faith in Jesus Christ that we have in this body. And so the psalm also says, the verse says, I am a companion of all them that fear thee and keep thy commandments. Our companionship is with those who fear God and who keep his commandments. This is a defining characteristic of the people of God. Revelation 14 describes the saints this way. It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And so these are to be our choice companions. You and I together are to be choice companions together. And as we are going to the same destination, it sure makes sense to walk together, doesn't it? We're going to the celestial city. Let's walk together rather than separately. We can better support each other on that journey. As we come to Doubting Castle together, we can together, by faith, leave Doubting Castle. As we come and we encounter Apollyon ready to fight us, we can together lock arms, lock shields, and fight better together than alone. As we come to the valley of humiliation, we can enter that valley and carry each other through that valley out to the other side. And at every stage in the Christian life, we need each other. You and I need one another as we walk this journey to the celestial city. So let us together bear one another's burdens. Let us walk the journey together in prayer and fellowship and edification and service. And let us do all these things with delight, because that's what Psalm 16 said, didn't it? It said, for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Let us ask God to give us that delight for one another. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for one another this morning, just as we are grateful for what you have done in this body. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us companions, that we do not have to walk this pilgrim journey alone. We are encouraged, Lord, that you have not left us alone, that you are with us, which is most important, but you've also given us other companions in the journey. And it is a blessed thing, we know, for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity, to share with one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to weep with those who weep. And we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for not loving one another as we should, not taking delight in the gift of our brothers and sisters. We are members of one another, but sometimes we don't act like it. Sometimes we act out of self-interest rather than the good of our other companions. And so we ask that you would stir up our love for one another, that we would indeed be friends, friends in Jesus, and that we would take delight in one another. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.